When you're a small business owner with a small team, getting the people that work for you to improve the work they do, to make the processes better and more efficient, to basically get more done in less time and with less resources is a game changer. It means that it's not you, the business owner or the manager, that has to do all the thinking and the creativity and all the systems improvement, basically. But how do we do that? How do we create a culture of continual improvement? Well, in today's episode, I want to talk about a great example of how this has worked in our business. Something I'm celebrating today of one of my staff coming to me with a great idea to improve the work they did before they handed it over to someone else to do. I want to explain all the things I've put in place to make this happen. So hopefully you can adapt the same mechanisms to in your business to help improve the way things work. So the question is this: how do entrepreneurs like us who don't have an endless supply of cash, how do we leverage the best apps, virtual assistants, automation tools and systems to scale our businesses, increase our profits and have more time to do what we love to do each day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Dr. Steve Day and this is Systemize Your Success. So today I have good reasons for celebration, and that is because one of my staff members came to me with a fully developed process improvement. She'd done all the research, she had a plan, she was ready to take the next step and literally just presented the idea to me. This meant that within 5 minutes and me saying, sounds like a great idea, go for it, we're now going to improve that process. It didn't require any brain power from me. It didn't require me to lie in bed at night thinking about this. It didn't require me to put the time and effort to do the research. It basically meant that for free, in effect, I have now got my business process improved. The specific example I'm talking about is the welcoming process for people into our Facebook group. Our systems and outsourcing community Facebook group has been going for about 6 years now. And I think this process that we currently have in place for inviting people, welcoming new members, has been in place for about 4 years. No one's looked at it. It's just been done. Same thing every single time and with limited effect. Facebook often limits the reach of our posts. And even though we've got 3,600-ish people in that group, some of our posts will only be seen by a handful of people. And that's really frustrating. And one of the problems is, unless we change the way things we do, where we following the current algorithms and understanding how they work, then it means things can get, in this case, a bit tired and not actually get the effect that we want them to. And so the fact this person had gone out of a way to realize this could do with a bit of a refresh and then gone and figured out how this could possibly be done, and then presented me with a solution, is absolutely awesome. It doesn't matter what the process was. It's just the fact this person independently come up with this idea and is ready to actually take the next action to put it into place. It's just brilliant as far as I'm concerned. And as a small business owner, it's absolutely game-changing. When your staff do this on a consistent basis, it means that your process, your systems, the way you work is constantly being improved and tweaked without you having to actually put any of your own time or effort into it. And so let me break down how this has happened. How did we get to this point where the staff member has come up with a fully developed idea, presented to me, and then is moving forward? And I should probably add, this staff member has struggled with confidence over the years in thinking or believing that she has good ideas, in having the confidence to present them, in having the confidence to come up with a solution without asking, a ton of questions along the way. So for her to do this as well, it was a massive reason for celebration as far as I'm concerned. And I think, and I believe, a lot of this, the testament to how well we've structured our culture of continual improvement within our business. And there's a few elements, 5 elements, in fact, that I want to go through to help you to hopefully achieve something similar in your business. So first off, I want to talk about values. I want to talk about the tools we use. I want to talk about the knowledge. I want to talk about the opportunity and the confidence. So let's start with the values factor. So values are an important part of every business. We all have them, whether we've documented them or not. But I believe that if you hire and fire and promote and do everything around values with your employees, you build a team of people who are connected, who understand each other, even if they are of different personality types, introverts and extroverts and all the rest of it. But if they have the same value set, it means there's something that sort of binds us together. And one of our core values is systems improvement. That is that we believe in improving the systems that we work in, improving the way we work. And it's something that we aspire to do on a daily basis. We can put this on our job adverts and say, look, this is the type of person we want. And in fact, we do this when we do recruitment. However, we've got to be observant of, is the person actually living up to this value on a day-to-day basis, rather than just saying, yeah, I believe in that. They've got to actually show that through their behaviors for us to actually know that they truly believe it. And in this case, obviously, this person has got that value because they've gone out of their way to do this without being asked independently. They're actually really overtasked at the moment. So the fact that she actually found time in her busy day to focus on improving this relatively small process, but focus on it before she handed it over to someone else to do, realizing, you know, if we hand this over to a new person, they may think that's the way it should be done, not look at it for ages, and it may just continue being undeveloped for a long time. Where she said, no, let's actually do this and spend, you know, however long it took her to do this, half an hour or something, an hour, to actually make sure that this process was right before it handed over. So she's living and breathing this value in the behaviours that she's displayed. And that's an important step. You've got to have the right people who have these sort of values in order for this whole thing to work. It's not something you can teach. People either like improving the way they work, like improving themselves, looking for continual professional development, they have career aspirations in their career, they want to progress and all the rest of it. That's the kind of people that we desperately want in our businesses. And this is a good way of actually spotting those people. So once you've got people with the right values, the next thing is to actually give them the tools in order for them to be able to have a mechanism for doing systems improvement. So we have something called the Sharpen with Ease framework. And EASE stands for to empower. So the first E is empower. Empower your staff to either automate, to streamline, or to eliminate their processes. And again, I've talked about this in detail in previous episodes, but just for a summary now, obviously the empower part is this having this actually as a task that they are required to do on a regular basis and encouraged to do whenever they have any free time or just when they're actually looking at their work. They can either automate something, so getting it done by a machine, in fact, means that it's now no longer taking up people's time, but we only want to automate things that are really well polished, because otherwise we just do the same thing time and time again, because automation doesn't normally improve itself. Maybe in the future with AI it might, but right now, if you automate something, it's basically going to just repeat whatever you give it. If you're repeating a bad process, it's going to repeat that bad process time and time again, and repeat a good one, it'll repeat the good process. So we make sure that something is streamlined, the third letter in ease, streamlined. We want to make sure it's streamlined before we automate. So streamlining is exactly what's happening in this process. It's about, look, we're doing it one way. It could be either streamlined or improved, therefore actually trying to figure out a better way to do something to get a better result, even though in this case, we're probably not going to reduce the time taken to do the work. What we're hoping to get is a better result and more return on the investment of time taken to do it. So that's also part of our streamline process. Or lastly, can we eliminate it altogether? Often we do tasks, they sit there on our, you know, in our pipelines or in our multi-step processes, they're getting done time and time again. And it actually takes a brave person to say, you know what, why do we do this? Do we even need to do it? Could we just eliminate it and it have no detrimental effect on, you know, the system as a whole? In which case, that's a great, great result, because not doing something is obviously a good time saver. And so giving our team a framework so they have a process and some training around how to look at their processes in a analytical way and in a way that actually, analytical, to actually decide, you know, is there something here that needs to change? And therefore giving them a few options of what the changes could be really helps people structure the ideas when they're formulating a plan of how to sharpen their tasks with ease. We also have something called the task board management system. So everything we do in our work with my staff, from our staff, is all on their task board or their unified task matrix, as we call it. And on there, we actually have a review date for all our processes. So every either 3 to 6 months, depending on the type of task, there's actually a date that says this task needs to be looked at within that time. And as those due dates are becoming closer, the person's then encouraged to, next time they do the task, to A, look at the existing process, the documentation, does it match what they're currently doing? If not, make sure they update it. And actually at that time as well, just have a think, could there be anything that could be improved based on that person's experience and knowledge from the last time they looked at it? Actually, there may be some steps that could be improved a little bit more. So these tools give people a cadence to do their reviews, but also a structure in how to actually look at processes with a view to improving them, either to automate them, to streamline them, or to eliminate them. The next step is to actually empower people is to make sure they've got the knowledge in order to know how things could be improved. If you never allow people to sort of look above their day-to-day tasks and actually gain new knowledge, that they're going to struggle, unless they had pre-existing knowledge before they started with you. But if they haven't, then they're going to struggle to actually see, well, how could I improve this? Because they don't know there's any other way to do it. So this is all about continued professional development, about giving people training, time out to actually go and research, to check out new ideas. And often this can be as simple as, you know, taking them on a course, or it could also be about giving them some sort of methodology to work on. And a great example, this is for marketing, and this is actually the one that this particular employee applied to this process for welcoming people into our Facebook group, but it can be applied to any type of marketing activity. And that is the Dream 100 philosophy or methodology. And it's something I learned from Russell Brunson. I think he learned it from somebody else. And hopefully if this is new to you, you're going to learn it from me, and that's fantastic. And the idea is one of the ideas about the Dream 100, which the focus of today is on, is about looking what the big influencers, the big creators, the best people in your market, your competitors, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And are we doing it as well as them or similar to them? Or are we doing it totally different? And if we're not seeing the results we want, and we think that they're seeing the results that we would like, then maybe emulating what they do wouldn't be such a bad idea. Now, works better if you, I believe, do this with people who are wildly successful, because they have big budgets. So if you're trying to emulate someone else's strategy for, in this example, how you welcome people into your group, you want people with really good Facebook groups. If you're doing this for a different advert or a type of post or some other type of marketing, then you want to find someone who's doing it really, really well, obviously doing it well, you know, they're plowing, you know, millions into it or whatever, because they will have the team behind them who's doing the research. They'll have the team that's understanding how the Facebook algorithm or whatever social media channel you're using, they'll understand how that algorithm is working, because they're split testing constantly all the time, and they've got the resources to do it. And if you're a micro or small business owner, you probably haven't got a massive marketing team or a massive marketing budget. So emulating what the best in the industry are doing, not copying, just using their ideas. Like, are they posting once a day? You know, is it a picture post? Is it a text post? Are they using video? Are they using shorts? How do they edit their videos? Are they using subtitles? Are they using thumbnails? Like, all these things can easily be scraped from other people's marketing or social media activity, and then you can then try them out. And hopefully if you see someone consistently doing something over time, you can be pretty sure, if it's a big business, that actually it is working for them, and therefore hopefully it would work for you. So this is just one example of how I've trained this person to think differently, to not even need to become a master marketeer, but just to be able to actually understand that if you emulate what the best people do, then there's a good chance it will actually work better for us than what maybe we're currently doing. But other cases, it could be, you know, you've got somebody who manages your Google Workspace, for example, getting them to just, you know, do it here and then, or can you figure out how to set up a user? Can you do this? That's great. But maybe just say, hey, how do you fancy getting certified as a Google Workspace admin? I'm not sure what that name is, but, you know, for your continual professional development, so you get something on your CV, and actually I think Google courses are free, but it doesn't matter if you pay for it or not, it's not the point. But the point is that they get something on their CV, and then they can then come up with ideas of how your admin can be improved, because they now know stuff that they didn't know before. And that can be applied to anything in business. I'm just giving you a couple of examples. So that's about giving them the knowledge. So we've got the values, that's important. That's got to be absolutely number one, in my opinion. If people don't see the stuff, they're not going to do it. Give them the tools and the structure in order to understand how to actually think about whatever it is you want them to think about. In this case, the process improvement. And then how do they actually acquire the knowledge to apply back? I'll give you another example. We have a our podcast that you're listening to right now. And we have an agency who we work with, and we have a quarterly podcast mastermind that they run. And I get my podcast manager to go to that mastermind to find out the latest ideas about things we could be trying out and seeing if we can improve the reach of our podcast. And they then come back with a plan of implementing them. Another great example of somebody going away, you know, 4 hours, I think it is. They go through that, they create some notes, create some plan, and then come back. It's a small, small cost to me, but it's a big, big benefit if we actually just get one or two great, great ideas that actually improve the listenership of our podcasts. And again, without me having to do anything except for give the go ahead for that person to go away and do it. And either just encourage them to actually implement stuff, or just say, look, just crack on, look, you learn this stuff on by an expert, just do it and see if it works. And that's the next step in this process, is getting this person to try out ideas and split test them without without having any input from their manager or yourself. And that split testing is the other really important part of the knowledge. If you are talking about marketing, actually most things, is if it's sale, if it's marketing, if it's how we do things in the business, if we the number of errors we make, if it's, we can split test pretty much anything. You can say, look, this is what the status quo is now. This is the result we're getting right now. This is the idea, the new idea. Let's just measure if there is an improvement, whether it's in the time taken to do a task, if it's the results we get, the accuracy, the number of sales, the number of clicks, whatever you are measuring, just measure it. So the knowledge needs to be, what are the ideas of what could be implemented? But also, how do we know if those ideas are actually working for us? So split testing, pretty much for every type of process improvement you make, is essential. Measure what we do now, measure what we do in the future, see which one's better, and then stick with the one which is definitely have an improvement. So that's knowledge. The next thing is opportunity. The person has to have the time and the capacity in order to be able to apply their knowledge and also the tools to the process improvement process. If you just have someone who's over tasks, who's working, you know, they're scheduled for 40 hours, they're currently doing 50 hours, and then you get frustrated because they're not improving any processes, you've only got yourself to blame. You either need to literally carve out time for them. So say block out a chunk of time, an hour a week, a couple of hours, you know, on a Friday, whatever it is, like block out some time for them to just sit down and think, how could this be improved? Make sure they're not just running around like headless chickens. They haven't got any time to actually think about what they're doing. And they're just basically just like fighting just to get to the end of the day. If you give people a little bit more freedom, not too much, you need people to have you pressure to get stuff done. So this isn't about just like giving them a free rein or do whatever you want and having no deadlines or anything like that. But this is about actually carving time out for professional development, for process improvement, and blocking it out either, you know, on a one day or a small amount of time each day, whatever seems to work best for that person. I suggest blocking out a chunk of time once a week, typically at a time where they are of high energy, so their brain's working, it's not after lunch. So think about the when they're going to be at their best in order to be able to think the best about the process improvement, because it is something that does, I believe, take a bit of thought to be able to do it. So making sure they've got the opportunity or the capacity to do it is key. That's number four. And number five is the confidence. And this is where you as the manager or the business owner play the biggest part. You see, as managers, we have the ability to encourage people to behave in a certain way or discourage them. And we often do it without even noticing or knowing or realizing we're doing it. So one example is if someone comes up with an idea and you immediately just knock it back and say, nah, it's never going to work. Or they try something out and it doesn't really go to plan and you're anything but excited about the fact they've wasted resources. These types of very natural behavior can actually be hugely detrimental to generating a culture of continual improvement. Because if people are fearful of making mistakes, of what your reaction may be if things don't go 100% to plan, if they are scared of that in any way, it will hold them back from having a go. Now, I talked about values before, and one of the other values that we have in our business, which I believe is key or central to developing a good culture of continual improvement, is we poke the box. The poke the box expression comes from a book by Seth Godin. And I encourage you to read that book if you haven't yet, and actually get your staff to read it as well. It's a brilliant little book, But it gives people lots of different examples of how poking the box has changed the world, has improved things, has let people get ahead in life, in business, in employment, whatever it is that they're trying to get better in. And the simple idea is that we have to have a go. We don't know what the result of our having a go will be 100% with 100% confidence before we've had a go. Sometimes having a go will actually make things worse. Sometimes it will not really change things at all, and sometimes it will improve things. So as a manager, what we're trying to do is to encourage people to just have a go. And the key way to do that is to not pass judgment on the suggested improvement or on the plan that they want to implement, and just let it happen and let that person take responsibility for the outcome, whether it be good or be bad, and for us as a manager to focus on the celebrating the act of taking action above the result. That is really hard to do as a business owner and something that I still struggle with. But not getting involved, not casting a judgment, not giving your approval to something before it's implemented means that the person implementing it is taking the full responsibility. And that is key to learning. But you have to then be happy with the result either way. And you can only know what that result is if you're measuring it. And as I said before, if we're split testing things, you know, what is the status quo? What is the future status? Is it better or is it worse? And if we're measuring that, if we're learning from it, then that means that it's a win either way. So as a manager, we need to have the confidence to give our staff confidence to give it a go and just see what the result is. Unless, of course, you know something that they don't, you tried it before in exactly the same way, or you just have some insider knowledge that that person doesn't, that you just think that's really, really bad idea, or you're really scared that it's gonna suddenly cost you a bunch of sales, or you're gonna lose a load of customers because of X, Y, and Z. And typically these are things that you know that the staff member doesn't, and so it's actually about educating them and then letting them go away, maybe revising their plan based on that new knowledge and coming back and having another go, so to speak. And so, in this example with my Facebook group, today she presented this idea to me saying, look, we've done it this way for ages, but I've noticed that the Dream 100 that we follow, they are not doing it in the same way. They're doing it in different ways. And she said, oh, I can show you what they're doing. And I just said, no. I said, have you got a plan? And she goes, yeah. I said, are you confident that we've got a plan, whether it be good or bad, and having a go going forward? Yeah, great, have a go. And that was it. And that's I think I'm celebrating my own success in this scenario. I didn't get involved. I didn't ask questions about it. I just said, are you confident you've got a plan? Yeah, great, go for it. Now she owns that. If we go away and it gets 10 times worse, she can take ownership of that, and then we can go back to the old way of doing it. Maybe we can think of another way to do it. If it goes 10 times better, she gets the full credit. And if it does go worse, it doesn't actually matter. It's something we're going to be measuring. We're not going to let it spiral out of control. It's just going to be something simple. And this is quite a low risk activity that we're doing anyways. It's a great to start with this type of thing to build up confidence that isn't going to have a massive detrimental effect on the business if it doesn't go right. So it's a good example of something we can start with. And she did ask my opinion on something. She said, look, should we do it with an image or not? And I said, well, what are the Dream 100 doing? And she said, they generally don't do it with an image. And I said, well, what do you think? She goes, well, I think we should. And I said, great. How are we going to know which is the right answer? And then she came with the result, oh, we should split test it, because we've had this whole conversation before. And so she's now realizing that I don't have the answer. And even said, I don't know. I've got as good a guess as you. You've probably got a better idea than I have. So why ask me? Why ask me an opinion about something I know nothing about, or I have no way of knowing which is right because it's never happened yet, or we've not actually tried it yet? And then she goes, oh yeah, we'll just split test it. And that's it. And so now she's got the complete ownership of this. So she's been encouraged, she's got the confidence, hopefully, to do this time and time again. And as me as the manager, my job is, whatever the result is, to be massively encouraging, to celebrate the act of trying. And I was so happy about this. I actually brought it up in our company meeting, which happened immediately after the one-to-one, and actually shared how, I guess, proud I was of this person who'd come from being a very person who wasn't particularly confident, who wasn't the most forthcoming with ideas, to someone who now regularly improves our processes and does so with real thought and often makes huge improvements to the way we work, all because I believe we've employed these five key elements to building a culture of continuing improvement. And the final one, confidence, is something that we can't force people to have. We have to act. Our behavior has to encourage them to grow in confidence. And that's probably the hardest one to absolutely nail, but is the one which has the biggest effect overall, I believe. So just to summarize what we've covered today, we talked about having the right values in your business. And we talked about two key values here. One is that we believe in systems and systems improvement. And the second one is about poking the box. We then talked about the tool, so the sharpen with ease process, and also having our task board management system with a review dates for tasks to actually be looked at. So giving people the mechanisms in order to actually do the process improvement. We then talked about knowledge and about how to give people the knowledge they need in order to see where the improvements can be made. We talked about giving people the opportunity, the time, the capacity to be able to actually have time to do this properly. And lastly, about how to build confidence in people so they are willing to poke the box, have a go, regardless of the outcome. And that's it. If you found today useful, please do leave us a review and a rating on your chosen podcast app or on YouTube or wherever you're watching this. And please do share it with your friends and colleagues, as if you found this useful, there's a good chance that they will too. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I truly appreciate your time and your attention, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining me and listening to this episode. I'm well aware there are hundreds of great business podcasts out there, and you chose to listen to this one, and for that I am truly grateful. Hopefully what you heard today took you one step closer to building a successful business so you can share your passion with the world and serve an ever-growing number of people. If you got value out of today's episode, then so will someone else you know. By sharing with others what has helped you along your way, you will grow your influence and be the guy or girl that everybody wants to know. So please hit the share button right now, and also remember to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss future episodes. It's impossible for me to cover absolutely everything in these podcasts, so please do head over to systemizeyoursuccess.com right now and download the show notes, transcriptions, and some of my best frameworks and systems for free. Thanks again for tuning in and being a part of this amazing community. Until next time, this is Dr. Steve Day, and you've been listening to Systemize Your Success.